Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, you will discuss issues, relevant questions, and other fields regarding the Islamic upbringing of children. And we would like to stress that the answers that we provide in this program are all based upon the narrations of the household of the Prophet and, of course, of the Prophet himself, and upon the Holy Quran, supplemented with scientific research. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend, Sheikh Ali Himani, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for joining us.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's my pleasure to be here in your studio.
Sheikh, today we will be talking about, again, how we can manage our tweens and teenagers, and hopefully so that we may guide them towards an Islamic upbringing and an Islamic life. Because Islam, it isn't just a part of our life, it is our life. So, Sheikh, would you say that inviting, enticing our children to come to Islam and be more religious, and religiousness in general, is also a good method of guidance?
Very true, because if you remember our discussion that's heading towards how to manage these energies that are bubbling into them,
right,
the high adrenaline
program,
and
right,
all that. So one of the ways is to introduce religion, introduce religiousness, and introduce religious activities for them so that they get involved into these spiritual and religious activities emotionally, physically, logically.
Right.
When I say emotionally, physically, and logically, I purposefully mention these three terms here. Let's start with physical set of activities. Take your children to the community centers and get them to volunteer to do certain things. You know, clean up the place or vacuum the place or,
right,
you know,
the mosques,
set it up,
right,
or the mosques, set
at least
it up.
Participate in the
Correct.
Activities.
And then you have different programs during the various months. For example, the month of Muharram, the month of
right,
Ramadan. So at the time of Iftari, when people come together for breaking their fast, let them volunteer, go around, distribute, you know, the dates or the salt,
right,
or whatever. Let them take up some physical activity which is related to the religion.
Right.
Let them be physically involved in various activities. Let them wash the dishes at the end of the, let them,
right,
you know, gather all the stuff, or someone manage the mic system, or someone manage the audiovisual
right,
projector. Some activity where they start feeling attached and the sense of responsibility towards that community. So they have this responsibility. I am managing the mic system here. And
right,
people recognize me, because at that age, they want to get recognized.
Recognition, right,
right. So this is one way, the physical element, taking them, getting them involved physically into various religious activities, giving awan, reciting Quran and all this.
Right.
Emotionally, what I mean is getting them involved into recitations. You know, the eulogies at the beginning of the program,
Ziyarat-e
Ashura, supplications,
right,
Ziyarat-e Ashura, and different things, Hadith-e Kissa and all that stuff, so that they read and then they translate, they understand, and then there's an emotional buildup and emotional attachment in them towards the Islam, especially the eulogies where they recite the musibah and the challenges and the difficulties that Imam Hussein alayhi salam had to face in the battlefield
right,
of Karbala. And this is where they realize that all that Imam Hussein alayhi salam has sacrificed for them to continue on the straight path. So there's an emotional attachment happening here.
Right, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
Break and come back. And
right, yeah, that would be good.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Dear Sheikh, just before we went on a break, you were saying that we need to get our children involved in religion physically, emotionally, and also
logically. Okay, so emotionally, physically, and logically.
Right.
Now, why do I want this logical element? And according to me, it's one of the most important elements.
Yeah, what do you mean when you say logically? Logically. Involved? Right.
The religion should not appeal to them at emotional level only. It should appeal to their logic. It should appeal to their common sense. It should make sense to them.
So it's pure reasoning and all that.
Pure reasoning. Right. It is only then that they will be convinced and they will remain steadfast and focused on the path of
religion.
Because
the mind and reason, it is the essence of our faith, of our iman.
Exactly. And today, the curriculum system, you know, I don't know how many parents actually look at what is being taught to their kids in their school and colleges and open their books and look at it like what is being taught. I rarely think, very few parents are really deeply interested in what is being taught to them in the college. But the children, the teenagers, the youth are being taught questions and doubts pertaining to their religion. Like, religion is opium, you know, there's a very famous statement. So they're being taught that these are fancy stuff, mythologies, you know, and it's good
come to
have
liberalism instead.
Correct.
And about capitalism, all of these ideologies.
And they say that this is the real world. And what you're talking about, religion is all fantasy. It's, you know, sci-fi. So good to have, but not necessarily practical.
Yes.
So here we need to use our logical proofs that are there as part of our religion that proves that there is a God and there has to be a God, the necessity of it. And what kind of a God is it? Is it an infinite God? Is it a finite God? Does it necessarily need to have a body? All those proofs, when you explain it to them logically, rationally, and you know, making appealing to their common sense, and if they're convinced about it, then they'll remain on the path of religion.
Because it is based upon reasoning and not just emotions and faith, and blind faith.
And this is where it plays a great role, that when they go to school, when they go to college, they might not be able to answer back to their professor or a teacher, but deep down inside, they know that what I believe in is the eternal truth.
They
will not leave that path.
Right.
So that's why at this age, we need to provide answers.
But how do we do that? Because many parents in this day and age, they are not themselves knowledgeable about these things. They were raised in an Islamic way, and that's why they are, unfortunately, or a good thing, they're Muslims. Not because they sat down one day and they were like in deep in thought about who is God and why God and all that kind of stuff. So how should we like teach the teenagers this?
I can suggest two ways here. One, that the parents themselves take up the responsibility to read some material.
So educate themselves first,
right? And I have come across parents who say that, you know, if an Islamic book is more than 50 pages, I'm not going to read it. Right.
That's not a very good mindset, I would say.
That's not a good mindset. On the contrary, I asked this parent that, have you read Harry Potter? And like, yes, all the seven volumes. And I'm like, that's 600 pages each volume. So you've read
the Lord of the Rings, like, God have mercy.
So you've read thousands of pages of fantasy and novels and stories.
But that's okay.
That's okay. Right. And for religion, you're not willing to do that? And like, no, it's so boring and all that. Now, the challenge is that if parents don't educate themselves, they will not be able to guide and educate the children. So this is first way.
Right.
We'll deal with that.
Let's take the next step, dear Sheikh, after a quick break.
Ya muqdi al-khayrat, ya muqdi al-khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, the best among you is he who learns the Quran and teaches it.
Ya muqiyal khayrat,
Welcome back to your listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Dear Sheikh, just before we went on a break, we were discussing the ways that we can make our teenagers, make our young, engage their minds logically in religion, how that they may build their iman, their faith, their conviction through logical means. Now, we said the first step to do that was for the parents themselves, first of all, to educate themselves.
Correct.
Now, what about the second step, Desh?
Right. Let me just complete that first part, that if if the parents don't educate themselves, even if we look at the second step, the parents have to educate themselves, even in that scenario, because if they don't educate themselves, they'll end up countering or conflict, they'll end up with conflicting views, particularly the children. So the first way is the parents should read themselves and educate themselves. If they can't do that, then get a scholar, invite a scholar to your community center on regular days to come and give a half an hour lecture.
To preach, right?
What do? We invite the scholar only during the month of Maha Ramadan. And
That's the season. When we need to cry and after we fasted for a month.
And Maha Muharram. So you call them for the month of Maha Ramadan where they come for 10 days, especially the Shab-e Qadr and all that.
Right.
And then he'll talk about Shab-e Qadr and its importance and certain points and the sawab and the amal of Shab-e Qadr. And it's all done, packed up, gone.
See you next year.
And there's nothing about aqaya, the belief system and the proof of God, nothing being discussed there.
Theological beliefs, the logical reasons, proofs
and reasoning and rational discussions, nothing happening there. In Maha Muharram, there are certain discussions, but not into the necessary depth that is required by the youth and teenagers today. Superficially touching upon it and then getting into the musibah of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And this is where the parents or the community leaders should invite the scholars on the regular ordinary days or during these special days and tell them.
Like a weekly program every
weekend.
A weekly program,
even in these special occasions, invite them and tell them, please talk about the rational reasoning that'll convince our teenagers.
Make a curriculum. You start from A to all the way to Z.
To Z. So that my son, when he listens to your 20 lectures during Maha Muharram or 15 lectures during Maha Ramadan, he should be convinced that God exists and the God that is infinite, Hakim,
he should be steadfast
wise,
in his faith.
Omnipotent and all that
all
should get
attributes.
Ingrained.
Exactly. So this suggestion is in essence that we should establish a curriculum.
Curriculum and invite the right scholars.
Of course.
And not just send the children. The parents should also attend this program.
They may benefit too as well.
More than benefit, because when the son listens to this program, comes back to the father and says, Dad, this is the scholar has been saying. What do you think? And he goes blank. Have no idea. And like, what? You want me to follow something that you don't follow? You want me to believe in something that you've never heard of? If I want to counter question and discuss, you have no idea what we're discussing. When my father doesn't believe in something, why should I?
But when he is involved, on the other hand.
Exactly. So the father should also attend the program. The mother should also attend the program. The son should also attend the program. The daughter should also attend
Lead
the program.
Lead by example.
And during the dinner, ask your kids. So this is what Maulana was saying today. This is what the scholar was saying today. Do you have a point to counter it? Can you defend that? I say this is wrong. Involve them into a discussion.
We call this a mubahatha for us as students, as scholars.
Exactly.
We do this,
so
involve
him logically.
Yes.
Encourage him to use his reasoning. Encourage him to use his common sense.
Engage him.
And this is where he will be convinced about the faith and the belief system, and he will remain steadfast on it and not get
motivated. Also, this is where we clarify all these doubts that may have arisen and the questions.
So when he goes back to his education system, to his college, to his university, among his atheist friends, and they start attacking him, he might not be able to defend all the way, or maybe even be able to defend, but at least he will not become mutazalzal and
not be
shaky.
No, he has a solid background.
Correct. So these are some of the ways to use to attain what you've requested for.
Now, Sheikh, unfortunately, we are out of time, as I would love to continue this discussion, but inshallah, we will continue it on another day.
Inshallah.
I thank you for contributing to this discussion, and also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any suggestions, feedback, or some comments, please contact us at our email, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. You can also find us on various social media websites, such as on Twitter and Instagram,
under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.